Eliphaz told Job, "Man is born unto trouble as the sparks fly upward, and trouble is what two brothers had." Jacob and Esau are classic examples of how different two children can be. Like in any family, conflict was almost inevitable. Jacob the younger connived the birthright of Esau the elder, and the lifelong battle began. Today, lessons from the family of Isaac. Stay with us. From the Moody Church in Chicago, this is Running to Win with Dr. Irwin Lutzer, whose clear teaching helps us make it across the finish line. Today, Irwin Lutzer continues his series on When You've Been Wronged. Turn with us to Genesis chapter 25 as Dr. Lutzer speaks about a pair of brothers at war.
Because the family is such a basic unit of society, and because it is there that we learn our identity, our self-worth, there we are to be accepted and cared for and nurtured. Because it has such potential for unity, it also has great potential for division, deep division, lasting divisions. I think of all of the families that are torn by jealousy. When one person has more than the other, there's a separation because of those jealousies. When there's favoritism among children or among parents. When there's meanness, people taking advantage of one another. Somebody perhaps taking the other person's credit card and then not paying it back, and on, you could give a list of things that go wrong. Inheritance issues sometimes divide families permanently. Recently, I was talking to someone, a young couple in financial need, and they were invited to live in the home of his parents. And so they went. What they discovered was that there were all kinds of hidden agendas. It really wasn't to help them after all. It was to help the parents in ways that I will not go into. And in the process, as strife and division began to rise, the son took the part of his parents against his wife. Can a wife ever recover from that? I suppose so, but it's not easy when she has a husband who will not defend her. By the way, that was a bad idea, because the Bible says, "For this cause shall a man leave his father and his mother." Don't go live with those relatives, no matter what they offer you. Usually it's a bad idea. Well, today I'm going to tell you a story. It's a true story. It's a biblical story. But because we're going to cover so many chapters in the Bible, I'm going to tell it to you rather than reading it to you, which I hope you do on your own. It's the story of a man by the name of Isaac who marries a woman who has a very wonderful name. Her name is Rebecca. That's a lovely name given to at least one lovely woman that I know. But I want you to take your Bibles now and turn to Genesis chapter 25, where we have the story of Rebecca, who's pregnant, and she has struggles within her, and she asks the Lord about it. And in chapter 25, in verse 23, the Lord answers her and says, "Two nations are in your womb, and two people from within you shall be divided. The one shall be stronger than the other, and the older shall serve the younger." That was a switch from the usual way it was. Firstborns always had the inheritance. They were the ones who passed on the family line. And in this case, the older one shall end up serving the younger. And then what we discover is that one is born. Verse 24, there were twins in her womb. The first came out red, his body like a hairy cloak. So they named him Esau, which means red, which is related to the word Edom. Afterward, his brother was born, and his hand was holding Esau's heel, so they called him Jacob, which means heel snatcher. Later on, it's going to mean cheater. These two brothers developed in accordance with their gifting and their abilities, their natural characteristics. Esau ends up being a hunter, loves to go outside, and he becomes the favorite of Isaac. Jacob stays home, apparently loves to cook and becomes a favorite of Rebecca. And thus the stage is set for conflict. By the way, the purpose of these messages is so that conflict will be resolved, and I hope that you listen, because it is a story of conflict, but in the end, it's a story of reconciliation, too. Now, two things happen that cause division that's going to last for 20 years, and really even beyond the 20 years. Two things happen. And we zero in on Jacob. Esau is out hunting, the Bible says, and he comes home and he is famished. Verse 30 of the same chapter, Esau said to Jacob, "Let me eat some of that red stew, for I am exhausted." Therefore his name was called Edom. Jacob said, "Sell me your birthright now." Esau said, "Well, I'm about to die anyway. What use is a birthright to me?" Jacob said, "Swear to me now." So he swore to him and gave Jacob the birthright. Then Jacob gave Esau some bread and some lentil stew, and he ate and drank and rose and went his way. Thus Esau despised his birthright. He's saying, I want what I want, and I want it now. I'm hungry, and my desires and my appetites are so strong that I need exactly what I need at this moment. And I'm not interested in the future. I'm interested in the here and now. He sacrificed the permanent on the altar of the immediate. Bad idea, but he sells his birthright. That's incident number one. Incident number two is Isaac thinks he's going to die. Now, actually, he doesn't die. He still lives for more than 40 years, but he's convinced that he's going to die. So he says to Esau, he says, "I want you to go out and I want you to get some game, go hunting, and after you've done that, come on back and I will give you the blessing." Rebekah overhears it and says to Jacob, "Let's do this. Let's trick my husband, namely your father. I'm going to fix something that he thinks is going to be the game that Esau would have found, and I'm going to take a goat and I'm going to fix it in the way that he loves it the most, and then you go in and you pretend that you are Esau." Jacob says, "Well, wait a moment, you know, my skin is smooth and my brother's is very hairy." And Rebecca, thinking to herself, says, "No problem, I'll put some skin of animals on you and he won't be able to tell the difference, and so you'll get the blessing." Well, that's the context now for chapter 27. You'll notice that having all of that background, Jacob said to his father, "I am Esau, your firstborn." The old man asks, "Who are you?" And he says, "I'm Esau." Lie number one. Then Isaac says, "How did you get the game so quickly?" He says, "Well, the Lord has blessed me." Lie number two. And then he says, "Well, you know, you have the voice of Jacob. Come near me." And then the old man feels the arm of Jacob, and it is rough and hairy, and so he thinks that it's Esau. But he does ask again in verse 24, "Are you really my son, Esau?" Lie number three. "Yes, I am Esau." So the dying man, or the supposed dying man, Isaac, gives to Jacob the blessing that he thought was going to Esau. Wow. Esau comes back from the field and he finds out what happened and he is angry, and Isaac himself is beside himself because he had been tricked by his own wife and by his own son. And so he becomes very, very upset, and as a result of that, you have strife now between these two brothers. I think it's time for us to pause and to ask this question: who really won in all of this trickery? Who won? Well, we could say it's very clear that Rebecca won and Jacob won, because after all, they got the blessing. Yes, they did get the blessing, but with it they got strife and they got a family that's going to be divided permanently. Isn't it interesting that Jacob spent most of his life trying to get through manipulation what God intended to give him anyway? It was God's intention that he be the one to have the blessing. God would have worked it out some other way, but he thought he had to help God out and get what he thought he had coming to him, no matter how. Well, you can understand the rest of the story. It says in the last part of chapter 27, verse 41, "Now Esau hated Jacob because of the blessing with which his father had blessed him." And he says, "The days of the mourning for my father are approaching." He was expecting his father to die. "Then I will kill my brother." So now you have Rebecca coming up with another plan, and she says, "You know what you need to do? You have to leave, and you go to my brother Laban, and you work for Laban far away." So Jacob leaves. He has an experience of meeting God. He goes to Laban. He ends up marrying two of Laban's daughters, which means that he marries his cousins. And he begins to have a family. And in Laban, he has met his match. Because Laban is a cheater just like Jacob. In fact, there's a society on the face of this earth I will not name, but they agree among themselves that they will deceive themselves. I'm told it's mutually agreed deception. So here you have Jacob working, he's deceiving Laban, Laban is deceiving Jacob, and on it goes. But after 20 years, Jacob thinks to himself, "It is time now for me to turn back and to go and to leave." And so he leaves, and we have a very interesting story. Because Laban begins to pursue Jacob, believing that Jacob had stolen his gods. This is a fascinating story, because in chapter 31, you find that Laban pursues Jacob and says, "Surely you have taken my gods." This is actually in chapter 31, verse 30. That's worth a sermon on its own, isn't it? "You've stolen my gods." Turns out, actually, one of his wives had, but he didn't know it. She had taken the family idol. So you can see idolatry was still a part of their lives at that time. But Laban and Jacob decide to part. They decide to go their separate ways.
This is Pastor Lutzer. When you become a part of a family, you become a part of a whole network. It's just not father and mother, but there are uncles and aunts and, of course, siblings, usually cousins. And within that network, there are certain dynamics that always take place. And when you have favoritism within that network, what a devastating experience that can be for children. Of course, in the message that I'm preaching right now, you'll notice that there was favoritism, the mother favoring one son and the father favoring another. And of course, that led the one mother to do things that were manipulative and wrong and deceitful. Well, we as parents need to be very careful that we not favor one child above another, but to receive all of them as gifts from God. And if it does happen, children have to be very careful that they not lash out, but that they seek God for their sense of wholeness and acceptance.
Erwin Lutzer has brought us part one of Brothers at War, the third of eight messages on When You've Been Wronged. Tune in tomorrow for more lessons on the damage that can be done by favoritism within a family. Running to Win comes to you from the Moody Church in Chicago. Our current series can be yours in book form as our thank you when you give a gift of any amount to support Running to Win. Just call us at 1-800-215-5001. That's 1-800-215-5001. Ask about When You've Been Wronged. Online, go to offerrtw.com. That's offerrtw, all one word, .com. Or write to Running to Win at Box 11174, Chicago, Illinois, 60611. This is Dave McAllister. Call a friend. Invite them to listen along with you for tomorrow's edition of Running to Win.